Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, or hey, it's almost evening for some of you folks if you're living on the East Coast, right? I think, yeah, it's 2 o'clock here, so it would be 5 o'clock in New York and all that Eastern time zone. This is George, and welcome to the show. I've switched times. You found me. Some people found me. Ooh, that is so cool that you actually found me. Hopefully you can hear me. If not, that means I have to log off and log back on, and we got a problem with this whole thing. Volume is low. Okay, so let me try to take a call. Well, you know what? I got a caller. I'm going to log off. Don't go away. Come back, okay? I'm going to log off and log back on, and it seems to help, okay? Okay, so I don't know why. Okay, so I sound fine. Okay, good. So we got all this thing together. So, well, let me set up the show. And let me talk about what I want to talk about. Now, we'll take a caller in a minute, but I want to set the show up a little bit. And it goes back to what I was thinking about and what I wanted to talk about today. It goes back to this morning. Took my dog out and came back, decided I wanted to go to bed because it was kind of early. She usually gets up between 4 and 5, and I'm not a real morning person like some people I know. So I took her out, came back to bed, and got, well, let me kind of, the quote, and I wrote this in Facebook this morning, so I'll just go with what I wrote, and it's easier than try to remember what I wrote, right? I woke up this morning thinking about my goals concerning money and relationships. Then it hit me. Being happy is really my goal. It is not about those external things. It is about joy, peace, and serenity. I decided at that point to focus on feeling good, finding reasons to smile, laugh, and play. Each day will be about feeling good and letting love in. I will also take this goal to the next level of sharing joy, humor, and love with everyone. And to do this, and this is one of the main points of my focus and work, to do this, I have to give up negative emotions and thoughts. And then I made the comment, what a sacrifice that is. So that's what I'm about. And that's what I was thinking about today, was what we have to do. Oh, well, I'll call you. You want me to call you 770? You want to talk? I'm sure you do want to talk, right? You got something going on. Okay, so let me take the caller. And if anybody else wants to call in. Now, I still do soul readings, you know that. And it's really about what your soul wants you to be doing. You know, like today, tomorrow, in the near future, the direction. Spirit usually shows it to me as you're on a path, and you kind of wandered off that path a little bit, and your soul is going to kind of remind you, get back on the path, get back on the path. So that's what a soul reading is about, is how to get back on that path, the path of life. Path of accomplishing things. And as I put in my little write-up, it's about how to get back onto that path of being happy. And I really believe if we're happy, and I am going to take your call, I promise. If being happy, being in that state of serenity, that state of peace, all that stuff about the law of attraction and bringing things to your life will happen. Because then you're raising yourself to a higher consciousness level. And from that place of higher consciousness level, you're tapping yourself into the universe, and you're allowing things to flow to you. So let me take a call. Stop babbling. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Look, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well.
And your name, your voice is very familiar, but the name escapes me.
Sandy.
Sandy, I can't remember everybody's. I would love to be able to remember everybody's names, but I don't do that.
Shame on you.
I know. And I was in sales, too, and that was like, you're supposed to remember everybody. You're supposed to do this word association and all this craziness. Didn't work out that well for me. You have to write them down, right? Write the name down. So what's going on with Sandy today?
I'm doing well. It's nice and warm here in Florida. And... yeah, all I can say is I'm doing well. I love to listen to your show. I just kind of clicked on Blog Talk and saw you, and I thought, I like to you're what you have to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And yeah, so there's no questions. Just if you. So we'll, I got to get into some topics today, and I'm kind of all over the place on this idea of feeling good and ways to feel good. Okay, or be happy, being content with the life that you're at. Right. That's
yes.
what it's all about. Because that's what it's all about, right? If you're not a happy camper, if you're always thinking about the negative in your life, all those horrible things that are happening to me, you're just going to create more negativity, right?
Exactly.
So, should I put you on hold, or did you have a question or a thought or something you wanted to share before I put you on hold?
Well, put me on hold for a while, and then, you know, maybe I'll have a question in a little bit.
Okay, just buzz me in the chat room. Yeah, I got a question, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Bye. So, Andy's on hold. So, anybody else have questions, thoughts, ideas, something they want to share, a question about something? Not yet. Oh, so what I'm going to talk about. So, let me give you an Abraham quote. You know, if you're familiar with the Abraham material, Abraham being a non-physical entity that they've been presenting material through Esther Hicks through 1980-something. But this quote I thought was really appropriate for my little thing that I went through this morning. So the quote goes, and this is from a workshop in 2005 in Los Angeles, North Los Angeles, which is Universal City Block, or city, or across the street from it. Oh, never mind. Yes, we're just being a bit goofy for a moment. I'll try to get serious for a little while. Okay. We would like to have you... Okay, this is Abraham speaking. You know, and if you're not familiar with Abraham, non-physical entity group, spiritual teachers, we would like you to leave you with this very clear knowing that we hold. You are just a few laughs away from letting a whole lot of good stuff in. You are just a few kisses away from letting a whole lot of good stuff in. You are just a little bit of relief away from letting a whole lot of good stuff in. Now, to interpret their words just a little bit, to editorialize a little bit on Abraham's thoughts here, it really basically is saying, if you're feeling good, if you're laughing, if you're in love, you're lovemaking, if you're just letting all that negativity go, then you're in that place of connection to the universe where you're going to allow goodness to flow to you. That's what it's all about. And that's the point of that discussion there was, just get into a good place. Just get happy. Just feel good about yourself. And I know that's like impossible every moment of the day, 24/7. But if that's your goal, is to feel good, finding ways to feel good. Now, I'm always reminded, and I have a friend on Facebook who set this page up for gratitude, and I call it appreciation. Gratitude are very similar words. But do your appreciations or gratitudes every day. What are you appreciative of in your life? What are the little things? Okay, I'll give you an example of the little things that we can be appreciative of. My bathroom sink has been leaking, and I've told the manager a couple times. So the plumber came out today to replace the whole sink thing, not just the faucet, but the whole thing, right? And he got started with it, and then he realized, oops, the new one doesn't fit the space very well because the new pedestal doesn't fit very well because it's a pedestal. And it leaves the space open where it's kind of the linoleum is kind of exposed. You know, whatever, a hole in the linoleum, whatever you call that, right? So, tell my story here. So they have to call out the floor guy, to come out to replace the linoleum so it'll fit around the pedestal correctly. So the point is, I can really appreciate having a sink there. It actually works, if that makes sense. So it's appreciating the little things. I appreciate my dog a lot. She's so much fun for me. So it really is about learning to appreciate. So if you want to feel good, if you're in a kind of crummy mood, you've had a bad day, everybody's been yelling at you, and work has been one of those days, right? start to find things that you appreciate in your life, the little things, the sink that actually works. Because I'm visualizing this nice new sink that's going to work and no more dripping and no, if I can't sleep anyway, then the drip, drip, drip. Anybody have that experience where you have a bathroom that has a drip and you're trying to get to sleep and you're not sleeping very well anyway and you have this drip, drip. So I'm going to really appreciate my new sink. It's going to be so much fun to have no more dripping. So it's the little things that we learn to appreciate. So do those rants of appreciation. Appreciate all those beautiful people in your life. Appreciate the fact that you can cook and you like food. Well, I've taken up a new hobby. My new hobby is cooking. I was looking for a hobby. But this is not a hobby. This is something, this is a passion, not a hobby, okay? Talking to you folks is a passion. It's not just a hobby. Because I love you guys. I love doing this. But cooking is now a hobby for me. And it's like finding creative ways to cook. Because, you know, like I've talked about it, I'm almost a vegan. I eat eggs and I eat fish a little bit. But I don't eat dairy for the most part. You know, it's all these, as you get older, you got, oh, you can't eat this and you can't eat that. You know, we'll be down to water and water will kill us, right? Okay, so let me get into some articles. Anybody have a question? My friend Sandy, do you have anything you want to ask yet? And I'll come back to you. Or if anybody else wants to comment on something, I have some articles that I wanted to cover. And, you know, we're going to have a little fun. We don't have to be all serious, do we? Okay, do we? Okay, but I'll get into an article about how to forgive. And I got an article I thought was really kind of fun. It was about 8 smart species of animals. Yeah, they're almost human-like in certain ways. And I thought I'd cover those. And you guys might have your own, you know, like your own animals. I mean, they don't have dogs on the list, but everybody knows dogs are smart. Some breeds are smarter than others, but well, the dogs are not on the list. But they got some other ones. And then there's an article about, and this is from the Today Show, and it's, what's the title of it? Sardinia's Mediterranean Diet, 10 Foods That May Lengthen Your Life. Okay? And people on this island live for over 100. Doesn't give me the statistics, but there's a bunch of people living over 100 in this island. So it gets into what they eat that keeps them living up to 100 and beyond. So you got 80-year-olds, and I got a bunch of pictures of old people. I mean, older than me, believe it or not. There is such a thing, right? So we'll get into the 8 foods they eat, and then we'll get into the species, and an article about forgiveness, forgiving and forgetting. And there's an article I've been wanting to cover for all you men and women out there. 18 Secrets Guys Wish You Knew. Okay, so, you know what? I'll let you vote. Which one do you want to hear about? Okay, if you want to hear about Sardinia's and the 8 foods that they eat that helps people live to over 100, anybody want to live to be over 100? As long as you have a quality of life, you're doing stuff, and you're active to some degree, even if you're in your 90s, and you're still, you know, be able to take care of yourself, you're not sitting in a wheelchair drooling on yourself, then it's cool, right? I just don't want to get to that place where I'm sitting in a wheelchair drooling on myself. Somebody's feeding me baby food. That's me quality of life. But so this is a nice article about that. So we have the 8 smart species, we got the sardinias, we got forgiveness, and then we got about mint. 8 things you need, 10 things men want you to know. So I'll take one vote. Any of you in the chat room that has, which one would you want to hear about before? So I'm giving you, you know, taking your opinions. Love to please you guys some way. So if you don't comment, I'm going to go straight to the men thing. 18 things men want you to know about them. Let's see if you agree with it. Okay, so we don't have a baby. So let me do that. We'll do that, and then we'll go to the other ones. And bear with me. Bear with me. So this is from WebMD, and it's under their section of sex relationships, okay? Sex and relationships. Men, and then, so there's 18 things. We'll go through these quickly. I don't want to bore you too much with all of it, but men will talk about feelings. Whoa, what a concept, talking about our feelings. Was your guy raised as a traditional stoic man's man? If so, let WebMD walk you through the 18 relationship secrets gathered from psychologists who study gender roles. Secret number one, it may be easier for you to talk, for your man to talk about feelings indirectly. I love that word there, indirectly. Ask what he do during a certain romantic weekend, or what he thought the first time he met you. His answers will reveal how he's feeling, how he feels, and bring you closer. So you have to ask this kind of question. How do you feel? Like, that's not the question. How do you feel about this? No. So what are you thinking about? What did you think about our romantic weekend together? What's your impressions of all that? It's indirectly asking for a feeling, but you're getting it out of him. Yeah, what did you think first time we met? What was going on, you know, first time we met? Wow. What did you think of that dinner the other night? That was a great dinner, wasn't it? What did you think of that movie? What do you think about my sister? You know, what's your thoughts on my sister? Then you're going to get his feelings. Instead, what are your feelings about my sister? It's going to kind of shut him down. That's what the article is trying to tell you. So if you want to get something out of a man about how he feels, you have to kind of ask him indirectly. Okay. Men say, I love you with actions. And this is so true. And this is not all men. Some men are a little, you know, more vocal about I love you. But for a lot of men, especially the more masculine they get on the masculine scale thing, you know, some men prefer to show their feelings through actions rather than words. Your guy may say, I love you by fixing things around the house. And that's a form of appreciation. Plus, they like to do it too, you know. And then some men like to buy flowers, but, tidying up the yard or even taking out the trash without having to be nagged upon every day. Did you take the trash out? When are you going to take the trash out? Really? No. If they're doing little things around the house, they see something wrong and they fix it, right? Anything that makes your world a better place. That's his way of expressing I love you. Now, you would love the words too. But hopefully you don't have a man who says, I'll fix it, and then you have the plumber on speed dial, or the carpenter, or the handyman on speed dial. Because, you know, every time your man attempts to do something, it costs you a lot of money. But that's, you know, okay, whatever. At least he's trying, right? At least he's trying. Even though, broke the bank again on that project, didn't you? Okay. Men take commitment seriously. Men have a reputation for being afraid to commit. But the evidence suggests that men take marriage seriously. Now, let me repeat that. But the evidence suggests, men take marriage seriously. They may take longer to commit because they want to make sure they are on board for good. In a survey of currently married men, 90% say they would marry the same woman again. I don't worry about that 10%, right? You know, like, really. Whoops, mistake time. So if you're with somebody, so we do commit. It takes us longer. Sometimes it's a financial thing. Sometimes it's other reasons, but yeah. And sometimes there's fear of failure in a relationship if they've failed before, and if they've seen their father fail or their brothers fail or their uncle fail, they don't want to be a failure. So it takes them a little longer to commit, right? Okay. He really is listening. Now, this is a big one. This is a huge dynamic thing that women can understand about men. He really is listening. When you're listening to someone talk, you probably chime in with yes or I see every now and then. It's your way of saying, I'm listening. But some guys don't do this. Just because a man isn't saying anything doesn't mean he's not listening. He may prefer to listen quietly and think about what you're saying. You know how many men get in trouble? Well, you weren't paying attention to me because you didn't respond, right? You ever hear that one? You're not paying attention. You're not responding to me, right? I have a friend who had an answer to that one. He would always say, yes, dear, I agree. you just do it out of rote, you know, just to kind of keep whoever quiet, you know, just, oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. I agree with you on that. You don't want that either. You just don't want them to say it, just to say it, just to keep you from getting all upset at them. So some men just don't listen, but they don't necessarily respond. It's okay. But you have to know the person, and it takes time to understand that. When they use the word stoic, some men are stoic. Some are very masculine, stoic, you know, type. Okay. Let me check. I'm having fun with this article. Ooh, you're back. Okay, we got a couple calls. Let me finish one more point. And Sandy, I'll get with you first because you've been holding. And then I'll get back to the... Let me do one more point on this article. I like this article a lot because I've always talked about relationships. This is a fun little article about relationships. Shared activities form bonds. Men strengthen their relationship with their partners through doing things together more than by sharing thoughts or feelings. For many men, activities like sports and sex make them feel closer to their partner. And I can see that. And a lot of times, men do that because in some way, emotionally or even physically, that there's a belief that the woman is depending on them, and there's an interdependence that goes on in this bonding of sharing experiences because both bring different strengths to the plate. And sex is a whole different, you know, that's an emotional attachment and a physical attachment, and it's an sharing of cells and all that fun stuff. So that brings things together. We'll get into the next one in a minute. Let me take a couple calls, and we'll talk a little bit more about secrets about men. Men love to do things with their partner. Okay, so we'll take a couple calls. Sandy's back. We'll take her first, and then I have another caller. So it's 770 and then 806. I'm going to take you in a minute. Hang in there. Go away. Hello?
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 I do agree that men like to do things for women, but the thing is, men drive us crazy.
Well, no kidding. Well, women drive men crazy too, you know. You know, it's not just a one-sided thing here.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of times it's not even men and women, it's just personality differences, right?
When they do a 360 on you or a 180 on you, you go, ah! You know?
They do? That 180 on you? They don't stay true to the course?
Right. Men are fickle.
Do you have a frame of reference to that, though? Can you give me an actual example? Not in your life, but if you've seen or observed where a man will do a 180 on you?
My life, but other people's lives, too. It's just men all of a sudden decide that's all I want, you know? And, I mean, women do that too, but men are more so than women.
All they want, in what sense of all they want? They want one thing and that's it?
Yeah, they want their way.
Oh, well, they're stubborn. Yeah, we can be stubborn and controlling. I'll agree with that. Yeah, men can get locked into a certain pattern of doing things. Men get comfortable, okay? Men will put up with a situation, believe it or not. There goes my mic. Men will put up and get comfortable in a situation, and that's just the way it is because they're comfortable. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to make change. Change is uncomfortable, all that stuff, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Change is a huge problem, and communication is a huge problem.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but to be honest, there are really good people out there, good men out there that do communicate. Sometimes I think what happens, here's the problem, as I see it and what I hear from Spirit too, is that a lot of times men will actually be like their fathers, okay, their male role models. And if their male role model is kind of that old-fashioned, stoic kind of, this is the way it is kind of done, and, you know, you just know what I mean, you know, without saying anything, men will grow up that same way. And so that pattern continues itself till it doesn't work. And when men realize it doesn't work anymore, they will change. Okay? When it's not working...
Well, and I'm with you on that because, you know, we're going to counseling, and I think that finally it's hit the point where he's got an aha moment.
Oh, that's good. You know, nothing like an aha moment. Do you have a male or female counselor or both?
Do what?
You said you're going to counseling. Is it a male counselor, a female counselor, or do you have a couple?
Well, he has a male counselor. I have a female counselor, and I've gotten to come into it with his male counselor a couple of times, and I think finally a couple weeks ago the aha moment hit.
Yeah, and sometimes it's good to meet all four of you to meet.
Well, the thing is, his counselor doesn't want to. Because
okay.
Then if there were any legal implications, then it would get messy.
Okay, so, but it's good that he has a male counselor because he'll get a male perspective and it's somebody he respects. That's good. I went to marriage counseling a long, long time ago, you know, back in the Ice Age. And we had my ex picked a female counselor, and that didn't work for us, but I've talked about it. And we don't go there, but yeah, it's good for men to have a male role model as a counselor to bounce things off of. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just sometimes people procrastinate on doing things, and maybe I didn't push when I should have pushed. You know.
Yes, you know what happens with men, and I got to take another call in a minute, but let me just finish one point and I'll let you go. But what happens with men is pushing men sometimes, men react to the push by reacting that it's like a mother telling them what to do. And I'm not saying you did that, but I know this from reading and cases. Sometimes men will resent it because they think it's their mother telling them. So they get that mother thing syndrome going, oh, it's like my mother telling me to do things again. So I would suggest if you get to that place, men like to solve problems. We're problem solvers. Sometimes we try to solve problems where we shouldn't be solving problems, obviously, when you don't need our help, right? They want to fix things. But if you have a problem between you and things aren't getting done, then you present it as a problem that he can fix. Not do this, but, you know, there's a problem here, and I need your help with this problem. I need help in solving this problem. Then you get to rely on him, and he gets to be the man, and he gets to solve the problem. It may not turn out exactly the way you wanted it to be solved, but at least he's getting involved, right?
Yeah, and the thing is you said that before, and sometimes men are so stubborn, but I can see the stubbornness is not as bad.
Good. Well, I'm going to let you go because I have other callers. That's good insights. Thank you for your insights. Okay?
Okay.
You take care. Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Yeah. Relationships and the dynamics between people. It's very fascinating. That's why I'm kind of fascinated by why people do what they do. That's one of the reasons I got to do this and to help people in the way I help people. I never wanted to be a therapist in the traditional sense of a therapist, but being able to do it the way I do it, I get to see why people do what they do. It's amazing. That's why I love stories, you know, like books, movies, TV. Stories really open up because the writers are opening up a little bit of that human. It's really good character development. They're opening up a little bit about the person. Let me take another call and we'll move on with the show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, I think. Yeah, I'm going to pitch myself, and I'll tell you for sure.
Wonderful.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Lucretia.
Lucretia?
Lucretia.
Lucretia. Okay, I got it. Okay, Lucretia. That's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Where does that name come from? How did you get Lucretia?
My mother gave it to me.
There's no history behind it. It's just a name she found one day and said, that's a great name.
There's history. I don't know what her personal history was. But.
Okay, so what's going on with you today, though? What's going on in your life?
What type of calls are you taking today? Just counseling or...
Well, I do soul readings, but now soul readings aren't predictions per se. Soul readings are what does your soul want you to be doing in the near future or today, or what changes that you need to make because it's not going, it's not working well because you want to make a change. So your soul is your higher self or whatever you call it, or God, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to give you an indication of what you could be doing differently. Does that make sense?
Wonderful. I'd take it.
So what's going on in your life, though, that you need that?
I am in the process of making change and in the process of making my life look like what I desire it to look like as far as work.
You know, the energy I'm getting on you, it feels like what I'm hearing from you or about you, and maybe that... And you can tell me I'm wrong, and I don't mind being wrong from time to time because it's okay. But I'm getting the energy about don't rush ahead. Don't try to get ahead of yourself. Don't push too fast, too quickly in the changes. It feels like you have to absorb the changes, and it has to be like really concrete before you move on to the next part of the change. So I'm really feeling, now you can tell me I'm wrong, but it just feels like this is a gradual process. This is not an overnight, bam, oh, wow, look what happened to me today. It's a gradual thing. You're getting there, but don't try to rush ahead of yourself, okay? Because I feel like if you rush ahead of yourself a little too much, it's like you get stuck out in the middle of, you know, like that the zone of some kind, you know, like what is the word I'm looking for? They're giving me a word, I'm not registering the word. Limbo. You end up stuck in limbo. You're not quite ready to get to that next stage. It will happen, and your soul wants you to get there, but it doesn't want you to run ahead of yourself. It's like you have to pre-pave everything. Does that make sense at all to you? That's what I get.
Right, and I'm okay with the change taking the time that it needs. It's just that I'm kind of under pressure from the other aspect that I'm leaving, whereas that's great that it's taking the time it needs, but in the meantime, I've got to manifest the, you know, day-to-day.
No, it'll happen. It will happen.
So I can't have the other one dry up before the new one gets here. So that
right.
Little bit of space that's
because
needed.
Because I'm sensing that you're on the path. You're on the middle of the road. You're on the white line, okay, if you know what I mean by that. You're on the white line. I see it as being on the white line. Path of life, okay? But don't let others distract you off the path. Don't go off into the weeds, is what I'm hearing. Don't go off into the weeds. So people distract us all the time, and they doubt us, and people question us, and they go, ooh, blah, 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 you know. But so you're on the right course, okay? Don't try to get ahead of yourself.
Okey-doke.
But really careful of don't letting people pull you off into the weeds, if you know what I mean by that.
I don't have anyone pulling me, no. But
no.
I do understand that distractions.
Yeah, I get a feeling the reason I'm saying that to you is maybe your soul sees that coming up for you, that there's going to be distractors. Don't let them get to you, okay?
Right. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
Distractors. Isn't it worse than a distractor? Somebody that tries to pull you off course in life? That's not good. Yeah. I get that analogy a lot of the road that it's like on the path of life, but then we're on the road, we're off in the woods, we're on the fringe of our road, we need to get back onto the center line. Back on the white line, folks, back on the white line. Let me get back to the article I was covering about men and women, about men. And this is good, and my friend Sandy would probably agree with this. Men need time for themselves. While shared activities are important, men also need time for themselves. Whether your guy enjoys golf, gardening, working out at the gym, encourage him to pursue his hobbies while you make time for your own. When both partners have space to nurture their individuality, they have more to give each other. Yeah, you know, when I was married a while back, there were times when I wanted to do things, and my wife wanted to tag along. And this was kind of like my time, and I felt kind of resented it, because I needed that time for me. And I needed time to just, like, I was going to school at the time, too, and I was studying, so I would take my truck, and I would go park at the park by myself and study, because I needed to be my time to study, away from everybody, away from the family. So we need that time for ourselves to do whatever we're going to do, right? And men need male bonding time with their friends, too, because men bond differently than women do, I think. Okay, there's the point that I brought up with the caller, and this is in this article, 18 Secrets Guys Wish You Knew, Men Learn from Their Fathers. Now, that's not always positive, right? If you want to know how a man will react in a relationship, get to know his dad, how they are with each other, how the father relates to his own partner, can predict how a man will relate to his wife. Now, that's a good thing to do. Before you marry and get into a really long-term relationship with somebody, if their parents are still around, and you know, I'm sure most of the people are listening a little bit younger than me, get to know the family. Get to know the father. Get to know the mother. And see where the family dynamics are. And is there love? Is there this constantly belittling of each other and putting each other down? Because you know that's a pattern. You don't want to get hooked into this negative pattern that the person learns as a child. Okay? Does the father respect women? Ooh. You have long conversations about your father. Okay. This is a good point, too. This next one is really good. And most of this stuff is really good, and I have to agree with it. And I've seen it a lot of it in my own life. Or I can say, yeah, kind of, that's me a little bit. Men let go faster than women. Women tend to remember negative experiences longer and may have lingering feelings of stress, anxiety, or sadness. In contrast, men are less likely to dwell on unpleasant events and tend to move on more quickly. So if you had a problem between you and something happens, the man is more likely going to let it go, move on, be the happy camper, wake up the next morning, go play golf, and have fun. Without just kind of letting it go. So while you may still want to talk about last night's argument, your guy may have already forgotten about it. And that's a good thing. You know, you don't need to be beating up the same subject all the time. But to know that and appreciate that, I mean, I'm sure most of my listeners have seen that. But it's sometimes a good reminder. Oh, yeah, men do process. Now, I can't say that about relationships. I can't say that men let go of a relationship quicker or less. But women let go of relationships faster than men. I'm not sure about that one. That's a whole different ballgame. Men don't pick up subtle clues. I like that one. Men don't pick up subtle clues. It depends on the man. Most, you know, if you're more masculine, you probably don't. Men are more likely to miss subtle signals like tone of voice or facial expression. And they are especially likely to miss the sadness on a woman's face. That's, you know, in a way, that's kind of sad. And I can see where that can cause a lot of problems, don't you? I mean, really, if we're not noticing a woman's kind of upset, you know, we don't have to be slapped. Sometimes we have to be slapped. They're not picking up on these clues. That's a conversation, right? That's a conversation. Here's my problem conversation. If you want to make sure your guy gets the message, be direct. So, yeah, be direct. You know, to the point. This is the problem, right? Just to walk away with hands up in the air. Men sometimes don't get it. Men respond to appreciation. I love this one. Showing appreciation for your guy can make a big difference in the way he acts. take parenting. Studies show that fathers are more involved in caregiving when the wives value their involvement and see them as competent. Yep. We love to be praised. We love to be appreciated for our efforts. You know, we love to be, wow, you really fixed that. That looks really good today. Well, you're doing a great job, Father. You know, I really appreciate your help, Father. Our parents are, you did a great job. And it's not just little kids. It's adult children, too. Wow, you really helped, you know, our son. Thank you. You know, I appreciate that a lot, that you be able to handle that situation with your son or daughter. Show that you appreciate the efforts they make. And men will respond even more because we like to suck up that stuff, right? And this next one's kind of funny. I'm going to get to it in a minute, see if anybody's calling or listening or whatever you're doing out there. This next one is really kind of cool. It's interesting, and I don't know. Okay, men think about sex a lot. Okay, so maybe this one's no secret. Most men under age 60 think about sex at least once a day, compared with only a quarter of women. And that's not all. Men fantasize about sex nearly twice as often as women do. And their fantasies are much more varied. They also think more about casual sex with women, about casual sex than women do. But thinking is not the same as doing. Yeah, we fantasize. That's basically saying we fantasize about, you know, whoever and whatever, you know, the secretary, da-da-da. Doesn't mean we'll do it. We just fantasize about it. We do think about sex. Men do have a tendency. Men, and there was an article I did a few days ago, that men will actually cheat for different reasons. And the reason men cheat or go outside the marriage is not for love, but it's for sex. Which is interesting. Men find sex significant is the next point. It's a myth that most men think sex is just sex. For many, sex is very important between two committed people. And just like most women, men find sexual intimacy to be most satisfying within a committed relationship. That's good news, isn't it? One reason is that long-term partners know how to please each other better than strangers do. You know, and it's like that new partner, like, it's that fear of being neglected or rejected. It's that fear of being made fun of. It's that fear of all that that men have just as much. I'm not good enough. I didn't perform well. You know, not always selfish. You know, and self-conscious about their body and their body parts and all that stuff. So once a man gets into a good relationship with a woman and they have a good compatibility and love and all that stuff, it's just so much easier for a guy and for women too. Obviously, there's a lot of respect and trust between them, right? This is the next one that's really interesting, and we're into the sex part of this whole thing about men, so we talk about it, we think about it a lot, right? He likes it when you initiate sex. Not always, but most guys feel as though they're the ones who always initiate sex, but they also like to be pursued and wish their partner would take the lead more often. Not all the time, but more often. Don't be shy about letting your guy know you're in the mood. Initiating sex some of the time may lead to a higher level of satisfaction for both of you. And that happens too with men. They get all kind of like buzzed out in their brains because they just want to have sex. You know, do I have, what if I start it? And she says, oh, you know, my goodness, what am I going to do? So you give them little signals. Yeah, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. You have your own little signals which indicate, yeah, I'm in the mood. Have those I am in the mood signals, okay? Ooh, this next one's kind of strange. But it's true, right? It's true. And if you've just joined me, you're kind of going, what is this man talking about? Well, I've had this article kicking around for a while from WebMD, and I thought it was kind of a nice article. It is about being happy, isn't it? Great relationships. People are, you know, if you can maintain a great relationship, it does heighten your state of happiness, I guess is the way of putting it. Guys aren't always up for sex. Men, much to many women's surprise, aren't always in the mood for sex.
Really?
Absolutely. And just like women men are often stressed by the demands of work, family, paying the bills, and stress is a big libido crusher. When men, a guy says, not tonight, it doesn't mean he's lost his interest in you. He just means he doesn't want to have sex right then. Yeah, he's just kind of not feeling like I can perform. He's all stressed out, work, the boss has been yelling at him, things have been going on, you know, they got this bill, got that bill. And the picture they have here, they have a guy with socks on getting ready, just sitting on the edge of the bed not thinking, yeah, he doesn't look like he's ready for sex either. So, gotta get some socks off, bud. I don't know why your wife's girlfriend's all into you. Never mind, that was a joke. That's gotta wear them socks to bed, right? They could be warm and fuzzy socks. They don't have to be black dressed up. Okay, never mind. I'm just getting strange. Men like pleasing their partner. Okay, we'll go through this. Your pleasure is important to your man, but he won't know what you want unless you tell him. We're back into not only sex, but in life too, you know? Gotta tell him, gotta give him, hit him on the side of the head. This is what I really enjoy, or this is what I really like. Too many women feel uncomfortable talking about what they like and don't like. I think they're mainly talking about sex, but that's okay. If you can tell him clearly in a way that doesn't bruise his ego, he'll listen. Because he knows he'll feel good if you feel good. Right. Do diagrams and pictures. I'm never mind. That one. I'll go to the diagrams and the pictures and this does this to that. You know. No. Or it could be a lot of things in life. It's not just about sex. I like it when you do this, you know, in the, at evening, you know. I really appreciate it. And it could be like being a gentleman, too, right? Like, I really appreciate when you open the door for me. Even though you don't have to, even though I can open my own door, I really appreciate when you're being a gentleman. That really makes me feel good. And those, I know that you appreciate me. So those little subtle things that can build a relationship, but he needs to know without hammering over the head with it. Now we're back to sex again. This whole article, isn't it? Now, why are we back on this one again? Guys get performance anxiety. Most men get performance anxiety on occasion, especially as they age. Your guy may worry about his body, technique, and stamina. So they have a picture of a guy. He's probably late 50s, early 60s, maybe. At the gym, working out, or doing a yoga thing. And I don't know if that has to do with sex, but the woman is younger. I have this picture. I don't know why it relates to this, but okay. If you can help him to learn to relax and stay focused on the pleasure of the moment, sex will become less stressful. You know, men have a tendency to think, oh, we're 60 now, and, oh, you know, whatever, so. Stressed out. So just kind of relax, you know, just relax into it. Help a man relax into it, whatever it is. Stress. Men may stray when needs aren't met. Yeah, this is pretty obvious stuff, but we're almost done with this article. I think I got one more after this, but it's kind of interesting. If a man doesn't feel loved and appreciated in his relationship, he may turn elsewhere for satisfaction. For one man, that may mean burying his self-work. Another may develop a fixation on sports or video games. Another man cheat to avoid that their partners need to work together to meet each other's needs. And that's a really big point. I've talked about this before, and I don't want to overemphasize this. If a woman does not appreciate a man for what he's doing, and I'm not talking about sex. Let's say he has a hobby or his work, and he wants to talk about what he's accomplished. Ooh, I got to do this today, I got to do that today. And the woman kind of puts him off. You know, well, you know, I'm busy, I have this thing, I'm watching the show, I'm reading this book, you know. So, his needs are his triggers of appreciation. When he's not getting the, aha, wow, that's really great to hear. You know, I'm glad to hear that. Show me what you're doing. I really want to hear what's going on in your life. Man doesn't get that. And it's the same with women, too. That one goes both ways. What happens with men is that they look for somebody else
that will appreciate what they're doing. Their boss, in case, or their buddies in the sports games, you know, their friends, or in sometimes a partner, another partner. Because she'll be all over. Oh, wow, you're so great. So men need to show appreciation. So do women. I totally agree with that. Okay, so on to the last point. Ooh, we're getting through the article. We're having fun. I'm having fun with it. I got a few more minutes left in the show. If anybody wants to call in and talk about anything you want to talk about, I'm having fun. And let me get to the last point, and we'll get into something a little bit more fun. A little more, you know, variations. But this is a great article. I wanted to go through this one and kind of have what Spirit is trying to tell me to tell you, too. Men, he's vested in you. I love that. He's vested in you. Most men realize that there's a lot to lose if a long-term relationship goes sour. Not just each other's company, but the entire life you've built together. So we don't like change. This is good. I like this. This is comfortable. You have families. You got friends. Ooh, there's a vested interest. So if you're willing to work together to strengthen your marriage, chances your man will be too. So you got to work at it. You know, men are vested in a situation. You got the kids, you got the grandkids, you got the friends. They just don't want to change all that. They don't want to upset the apple cart. They're vested in the situation for the most part. Okay? Believe that. We just don't want to run away. We just don't want to chase after the 30-year-old. No, it's not going to work. That never works anyway, right? The 30-year-old kind of gets bored quickly. Okay. What are we going to do next? Oh, we're going to talk about animals a little bit. I thought I would change subjects. You know, I'm just waiting for your calls and what you have questions in the chat room and, you know, on the soul reading. That's great. What your souls want you to do or what you'd like to be doing right now. That's always cool. And if I can help you individually, and then where my main focus in assisting people outside of the show, which is really about just being interesting and fun and giving you really interesting information, I hope, on subjects and helping you to, be happy, I guess that's a good word for it, to be happy, is really helping you in more of a therapeutic, and I call it a therapeutic meditation, to drop off the emotional, negative emotions, which are related to the negative thoughts, which are related to the beliefs that you've developed throughout your life that keep you from being happy. So that's what it's all about. So that's how I help individuals. It also gives you soul readings and let Spirit talk to you about your lives and what you can do to improve your life. It's really about improving your life. So that's what I do as a soul reading. And that's what I do as in therapeutic meditation. I'm a trained hypnotherapist, and I don't know if you knew that. But I'd rather do the meditation style. And I've done a lot of work with that in the past. And helping to change beliefs, dropping beliefs. Sometimes you don't even know what the belief is, where it came from. And it's getting into your subconscious mind to find out what's that specific belief that's led to this problem in your life and why you're not able to move forward. Let's say you want to create a relationship, you want more money, you want a new job, you feel stuck. Well, why are you stuck? And there's some kind of belief, there's some kind of negativity in your life that's causing you to be stuck. So let's get to it. Let's figure out where that came from. So that's what I work with people on. I'm relatively reasonable in price. If you want to do that, we can do it in person. If you're in the Los Angeles area, we can do it through Skype. And I'd love to help you on an individual basis. Okay? Love to do that. And that's what I do. Because I've been doing this. I have really good success with people and helping people identify the belief systems and helping to change or incorporate new beliefs, new thought patterns that replace the old and dropping those. And I have a great meditation if you're interested in that. Just doing this meditation and doing that. Okay, how much time do I have left? I don't know. How much time do I have left? 5 minutes. Okay, let me run through the smart animals and have a whole list of them. Dolphins, number one list is dolphins. They're the second smartest species, after all. Okay, so they do all kinds of cool things. Dolphins are... Whoa, hit the mic. Dolphins are, like, number one. Next one, ravens. Yeah, ravens are smart. Yep, they are. Yep. They have great memory and remember things. And the next one is gray parrots. They've done some really interesting studies about parrots, and parrots know the words they're saying. Did you know that? And parrots are also showing abstract thinking. Whoa. They're figuring out problems. They can be problem solvers. The next one really surprised me. Squirrels. They put on elaborate shows in which they pretend they are hiding food to thwart would-be thieves. When squirrels saw human researchers stealing their nuts, they faked hiding more food. They're deceptive, those guys. These cute squirrels. There's a cute squirrel in this picture. It's a red squirrel. I don't think we have red squirrels. The next one on the list, I don't think there's any particular orders of intelligence. The next one is elephants. We all kind of realize that elephants are very smart. And very smart, intelligent species. And they kind of, they do mourn for the loss when one of their family members passes. Okay? And they know their family. And they, the next one is chimpanzees. Well, that's pretty obvious. Chimpanzees are pretty gross. Okay? And the next one, one of my favorites, is pigs. And I'm, this is not why you don't eat pork, but pigs learn to use a joystick to move a cursor to target and then distinguish about among child various scribblings. Their challenge is akin to that of chimpanzees. But comparing them to humans doesn't come out all that well. Even piglets only a few hours old will leave the nest to relieve themselves. Hold on, your kid's been in diapers with the comments. So, pigs are pretty bright. Crows are on that list too, so we'll leave it with crows. Crows play tricks on each other, and different families have their own dialect. Also, they learn to use tools, believe it or not. I know one of the things I've seen crows do is take nuts and drop them on the road so cars would run over the nuts so they could eat the nuts, eat the meat of the nut. So they have figured out a little bit about how to use tools. Ravens are very similar to that. What's the difference between a crow and a raven? I don't know. What do you think? I heard the beak. Anybody know what the difference between them? They're very similar. Very similar animals, right? So, we're running out of time, and I'm not going to get into any more articles today. Any comments? Today is... I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow or not. I'm going to be here either. I got to do some things, and they got to do some plumbing work in my place. And so, hopefully I'll be here either tomorrow or Friday or whatever. One of the two. I'm going to have one of the days off, but just stay in tune with me, and I'll let you know in the morning what day I'm on. Yes. So I'm either going to be on Thursday or Friday, depending on the plumber and some other things. How fun is that? So, leave you with these thoughts. I want to leave you with this thought and go back to the whole very beginning of the show. It's about happiness. Life is about happiness. Life is about if you're happy, if you're in that state of joy, if you're laughing, if you're singing, you're dancing, you're carrying on, you're having great times in life, you don't have to worry about materialism or manifesting things in your life. The universe knows what you want. If you already put it out there, you know, like how many times, I want this. Just go have some fun. Enjoy life. Turn the problems over. Go have some fun. Get happy. What was that expression? Don't worry, be happy. That song, don't worry, be happy. Do it. Live that way. There's so much wisdom in that song. Don't worry, be happy. Do it. Do it. So, I want to thank those who called in. I want to thank those who listened to the show. I want to thank you who listened to the archive show later. I really appreciate you. And if I can help you in any way, contact the Blog Talk Radio page, my Facebook page, my website, and I'm willing to work with you on being happy, getting rid of those negativity in your life, that negativity, negative thoughts and emotions which drag you down. So thank you very much. Oh, I got a few more seconds. I've used all my time yet. So thank you for... Yeah, again. My final thought for the day. What is my final? I'm gonna go through this whole cycle of what was my final thought and run out of time. love yourself. Just really love yourself. Okay, bye now.